joint regular session of the Springville Planning and being a joint meeting, we have Gary Darnell. You're receiving the Springville hearings official. All please rise for the pledge of allegiance.
Allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And the Springfield hearings official opens the hearing before the Springfield hearings official.
First is adjustments to the regular session agenda. And I'm not going to attempt to explain everything that the adjustments that need to be made, so.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And actually, it does note that staff can request that adjustment as well, so it's okay, it's coming from us. So the first thing I'd like to ask, is anybody here for the Verizon cell tower hearing? No? Just the Greenway hearing? Okay. You know, based on that, we can just proceed with the agenda the way it is. Thanks.
So and I were having, as our first hearing, a joint quasi-judicial public hearing in regard to establishment of a Greenway setback line in Glenwood. And we'll begin with a legal introduction from Lauren King.
Good evening. This hearing tonight is a quasi-judicial hearing. Quasi-judicial means that certain due process procedural rights are associated with these decision-making processes. These rights include the right to notice, to present evidence, and to have a written decision based upon standards and to an impartial decision maker. The record in this matter consists of the application and any supporting information, any staff report and supporting documents, and any testimony and documentary evidence admitted during this hearing. By statute, you have the right to request that the record be held open for 7 days. You do not have to give a reason for the request, but you must make that request before the hearing is closed. If new evidence is introduced during that time, the record may be held open for an additional period of time to allow other parties the opportunity to respond to the new evidence. You also have the right to request a continuance of the hearing. A continuance is discretionary with the Planning Commission, and the party requesting it must show that prejudice to his or her rights will not be cured by merely holding the record open. Any person who participated in this hearing, and let me pause for a second. What's unusual about this hearing is there are two different bodies making a decision tonight, the hearings official and the Planning Commission. The Planning Commission makes decisions about property that's been annexed into the city. In this case, there is only one parcel that the Planning Commission will be making a decision on, and that's the property that's owned by ODOT and under the Springfield Bridges. The hearings official will make a decision based on all of the other property at issue here. So, if you wanted to appeal the Planning Commission's decision, you would appeal it to the City Council. If you want to appeal the hearings official's decision, it would get appealed to LUBA. Please consult an attorney regarding deadline for the appeal and the form of appeal. Oregon land use law requires that the decision maker disclose any ex parte contact or conflicts of interest related to this matter and allow any person to challenge the decision maker for bias. Generally, a conflict of interest involves a situation where the decision maker, his or her family or business would benefit or suffer by his or her decision. An ex parte contact is a communication to the decision maker that includes substantive issues regarding the application and occurs outside the public venue. I want to make one other note for clarification. I think staff will discuss this more. Typically, the criteria that the decision maker makes their decision on is provided on the board behind them. Because the criteria are so long and cover so many pages, it's printed and available over by the front. It looks like this if you need a copy. And then the other item that staff will discuss more and is available in the staff report is you probably received a notice about this in April for a May 5th hearing. So this is the same item, another hearing, to correct some issues with the criteria and make sure the staff properly addressed all the criteria required in the code. So this is the same item again, but with all of the criteria covered. So at this time, it is appropriate to open the hearing.
I'll open the public hearing with the Springfield Planning Commission.
Public hearing before the Springfield Hearings Official is also open. I'd like to take this opportunity to indicate that I had no ex parte contacts, nor do I have any actual or potential conflicts of interest. Members of the audience may challenge my impartiality at any stage of the proceedings.
And also, is there any conflict of interest or disclosure of ex parte contact on behalf of the Planning Commission members?
No.
Okay, we'll have the staff report then. Mark Metzger.
Thank you. I just want to recognize the members of the audience that are here tonight. We have folks from Ponderosa Park and help me again with your
last.
Brumbaugh family owned property near Roaring Rapids Pizza. We are here this evening to consider the establishment of Willamette Greenway setback line. As was mentioned earlier, we're here tonight to correct a staff error where we used the wrong criteria basically for approving the Greenway setback in May. We did send a second letter of notice to everybody along the riverfront, and I think many of you were probably confused by the number of letters you were getting about this particular issue, but we are considering tonight what was the topic on May 5th. As I mentioned to you, some of you outside there, that when Springfield staff make a mistake, we own up to it and we try and clean it up, and we do it in a public way. So it's a little embarrassing for staff to send out a letter to everybody and say, oops, we screwed up. But nonetheless, we want you to know that we're coming back to you. You have the opportunity in the public hearing to testify, but the purpose tonight is to establish a line that governs how close new development can come to the river. This process will have no impact on properties that have established development, such as your parks, unless your owner wanted to build a new building up close to the river. But as far as established development, it really doesn't have any impact on you folks. Looking to the staff report, as we mentioned, we were looking at a different set of criteria. It's not completely different. The criteria for approval that we should have been looking at in May is found in SDC 3.4280 sub D and L. And then we also added information or added findings that address criteria found in the Oregon Administrative Rules section 660.15.5(c)(3)(k). And between the two, we have rather a lengthy staff report that is duplicative in some regards, but nonetheless, we just wanted to, out of an abundance of caution, address not only the criteria for approval that are in our own development code, but we wanted to address that the findings to the criteria found in the Oregon Administrative Rules. I think what would be helpful is to at least just read out for you the criteria for approval. And I think as much for the audience benefit, since we don't have anything on the wall, so that if someone chooses to testify, they have some idea of what criteria we're talking about. That said, if you have the letter that I sent to you a couple weeks ago, the criteria for approval are found in that letter. It's part of what makes it rather a long letter. And our Planning Commission and our hearings official have to make their decision on where to put that line based on that long list of things that are on that letter. And my Planning Commission has rather a large report that addresses all those things, and I'm not going to bore you with those details, but addressing you as a commission and a hearings official, from a staff perspective, I think there are findings in the report that we provided to you that would give you a substantive basis for approving the recommended line. that is found in Exhibit G of Attachment 2 in your report. That's the series of aerial photos with the recommended setback line placed upon it. But just to be clear, the criteria for approval that come out of the Springfield Development Code 3.4280 sub L, item numbers 1, 4, 5, 7, 10, and 11. That is the section that we should have addressed in the May meeting that we did not. And then the section that we have added comes from Oregon Administrative Rules sub 660.15.5(c)(3)(k). And would it be helpful for me to read through those criteria?
Could you mention the number on the code that you said was missing again, please? Cited the
3.4280 sub L numbers 1, 4, 5, 7, 10, and 11. Those are all in your staff report. Those come out of the section of our development code that covers the Glenwood Refinement Plan. And the mistake came when staff used what has been our traditional criteria for establishing setback, not realizing or not remembering that for the Glenwood segment, there were some different, largely similar, but not identical criteria established for there.
Mark, can I interject at this? Since we're talking about the approval criteria, I'd like to direct some questions to Ms. King.
Sure.
Under 3.4225, it talks about conflicts in the Glenwood Riverfront Mixed-Use District. What's a conflict? Because the criteria in the more general code provisions have some standards that aren't here. Is that a conflict? And it has some standards where the wording is almost precisely the same, but in at least one case is more rigorous.
Yeah. So the way we've interpreted the code is, or that we're recommending interpreting the code to the Planning Commission, is that the Glenwood District was intended to address the Willamette Greenway within the Glenwood District, and the fact that there is an entire separate criteria, that would be the prevailing criteria. I recognize that some of those specific items might be, as you say, not necessarily in conflict and maybe even the same, just written slightly differently. But we're recommending that they follow the criteria found here in the Glenwood, just by the nature of the fact that they're in two different places, that creates a conflict.
Yeah, I understand. It's just not very artfully written in the code, no offense.
I think that we would agree.
So. Second question. I don't understand why we're applying the administrative rule, which is, a sense, applying the goal directly, and this code provision has been acknowledged.
So this is somewhat out of an abundance of caution. What when we adopted the Glenwood Refinement Plan, it was appealed, and one of the issues on appeal was our greenway setback. What the petitioner argued was that our setback, which established that at that time, it was 300 feet, is that right?
For the greenway?
Yeah.
150 feet,
okay. So it established a set line, and what the petitioner argued was that it was not based on an inventory, and LUBA referred to the inventory found in the goal and that criteria as a way to base the decision. We don't necessarily agree that that's what has to be the inventory, but it has resulted in us deciding that it was worthwhile considering those criteria as well to make sure we had a complete inventory. Does that make sense? Kind of.
Yeah, obliquely.
Yeah.
But these code criterion are acknowledged by DLCD?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm looking to staff. Do we need to read out loud the criteria of approval, or do we have?
I think you can ask the audience if they'd like them read, otherwise.
Would you like me to read the criteria for approval? Okay. Listen carefully, because. Okay, from the Springfield Development Code, and this is section 3.4-280 sub L, numbers 1, 4, 5, 7, 10, and 11. Number 1, any development, change of use, or intensification of permitted in the base zone shall be oriented toward the river between the Willamette Greenway setback line and the Willamette Greenway outer boundary. With the exception, proposed water-dependent and water-related uses listed in subsection 3.4-280D2 shall be permitted within the greenway setback line. Number 4, the maintenance of public safety and protection of public and private property, especially from vandalism, trespass, shall be provided to the maximum extent practicable. Number 5, the natural vegetative fringe along the river shall be enhanced, protected, and maintained in order to assure scenic quality and viewpoints, protection of wildlife, protection from erosion, and screening of uses from the river. Number 7, recreational needs shall be satisfied as specified in the Glenwood Refinement Plan and or this plan district. Number 10, significant fish and wildlife habitats shall be protected to the maximum extent practicable. And number 11, significant natural and scenic areas, viewpoints, and vistas shall be protected to the maximum extent practicable. Now looking to the Oregon Administrative Rule 660.15(5)(c)(3)(k), the greenway setback. A setback line will be established to keep structures separate from the river in order to protect, maintain, preserve, and enhance the natural, scenic, historic, and recreational qualities of the Willamette River Greenway as identified in the Greenway inventories. The setback line shall not apply to water-related or water-dependent uses. The reference Greenway inventories are listed in OIR 660.15(5)(b), numbers 1 through 15. Now, do you want to recite it back to me? No. These are the criteria that you folks are charged with applying to the location of the site. Just to remind you that the city had hired Satri and Cheryl Satri Group to recommend a line for us. They have a staff biologist who's professionally accredited and competent to make a recommendation to evaluate, in particular, wildlife habitat and fish habitat. He walked the great majority of the sites and recommended a line based on his observations in the field. He also did additional research from the state's database of protected and listed species. And these things are all contained in the report, but to let you know that the city is recommending the line that was proposed by Sherman Satri and is found on Exhibit G. I think without going through the whole report, I'll stand for questions if I can answer them for you.
Testimony from the applicant?
Nothing to add.
Public testimony. Is there anyone that wishes to testify in support of this application? Is there anyone who wishes to testify in opposition to this application? Anyone who has neutral testimony? staff summary.
I appreciate your consideration of the recommendation and your patience with staff and coming out on another Tuesday night to consider this item. And we, as I mentioned, recommend the line shown on Exhibit G and believe there's a substantive base in the staff report for you to find it, to approve that line.
Any closing remarks from applicant? The planning commission consider a request for a continuation of the public hearing, extension of the written record, or both? So then we will have a motion to close the public hearing.
I will make a motion to close the public hearing and then end the record, correct?
A motion made by Commissioner Moe. I have a second.
Second.
Second by Commissioner, I can't remember your name. Okay, go ahead. Okay, and then we vote, and by voice vote only. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? And the motion carries.
The Springfield hearings official closes his public hearing and the record in this matter. I don't have to vote.
Is there any planning commission discussion? And is there any further questions or discussion on your behalf?
So just a point of information for the folks that are here. I'm assuming that their interests lie on the property that Mr. Darnell is considering. I'm not sure any of them live on this bridge. So do you have an estimate about when you might publish your decision?
My decision will be released early next week at the latest.
Okay. And if any of you folks want a copy of that decision, we're going to need to get your name and address. Okay.
Continue.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
And then I'll hear a motion to close the public hearing.
Oh, you closed
already got
it.
There.
You did that.
Yeah.
You can get a motion to approve with conditions, or a motion to deny.
Okay. So then we're adjourned for the joint.
Oh, so ask for that motion. To vote on the, make a decision.
I'm not sure how to read that, by the way.
I have a draft motion. Would you like a copy?
I have a copy. Oh, do I have it? Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I have to read it. Is this it? Okay. Motion to approve with conditions. Motion to deny.
Pick one. You gotta pick one.
Do I read all of this?
Nope. You decide how you want to vote. So if you want to approve, you would probably make that motion or condition.
Okay. I vote to approve.
For the sake of the record, it's helpful to read the full motion so that we understand.
I'll do that.
Mr. Darnell had a question.
At the last hearing, we sort of agreed that as a condition, there would be a meets and bounds determination. I can't remember. Within 1 year, I think. Was
right.
The,
it was within 1 year, and subsequent to the meeting, I talked to our survey staff, and they believe that they can have that meets and bounds description by early this fall.
Okay, so make it 6 months?
I make a motion that we approve filed number TYP 315-00002. Is that correct?
No, I'm not sure.
Just the number. I just got caught.
Oh, is it the number? Yeah. Okay.
This is it.
It's
something else.
Thank you. It could be the same file number, that's just not in what I have.
So, I'm going to make a motion to approve with conditions then, correct?
If that's what you'd like to do. You're the decision maker.
No, I'm not making a motion.
The recommended condition...
I'm trying to make a motion.
Sure, I know. The recommended condition that the hearings official is proposing is that there is a survey, a meets and bounds survey done within 6 months. So that would be an approval with conditions, because I don't believe staff has conditioned that yet on themselves. So you would include that in your motion.
Which is what I'm trying to do, is make a motion with conditions.
Sounds good.
Criteria that the hearings official has recommended, correct?
Yes.
So we go home tonight sometime?
I'm ready now.
I guess if the motion's been made and seconded, then we'll vote, is that next?
Yes.
So then, vote by voice vote only, motion to approve?
Aye.
And opposed? And motion carries.
Thank you for bearing with me.
Did great.
For the benefit of the audience, it's my intent at the moment to also approve the application. I may, out of extensive caution, also address some of the criteria in the earlier set of criteria that aren't the same. With that condition.
And then we adjourn the joint regular session.
Yes. Let the hearings official go home.
Yes.
By all means, go back on your feet.
Watch the end of the women's soccer game.
The Golden State Warriors.
We won.
You might want to let the audience know that the climate step is over. If you want to stay for the cell towers.
Yeah, we're going to conduct other business from here.
Yeah, give me 1 minute. I want to be able to hear. I'd like to. I want to walk out there.
Oh.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, thanks for being here.
Night, have a good evening. Thank you. We'll make sure that we get that to you.
Okay.
Is there something wrong?
I'm just going to call it.
John and Christopher Roba.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I didn't
really put it together. It was laying here and I didn't tell it.
The normal people do that, aren't you?
Well, I didn't mind doing it, but nobody told me.
That one word, Wingate, and then it goes straight to the location.
Six.
Okay, so now we'll have a quasi-judicial public hearing on the cell tower applications
so
by Verizon.
Staff report.
Yeah.
And we start with the legal introduction, Lauren King.
6 months. I think because we have nobody in attendance to testify. You're not here to testify about the water window, ma'am. Because there's nobody in attendance and because the hearing is already open, we can skip that tonight. But thank you.
So
you can reconvene the hearing.
Oh, okay. Reconvene the public hearing.
And then, may I?
Yeah,
I know. So our agenda is a little out of order, as we talked about in the work session. This is an unusual item that council has asked to elevate to their level. And they are going to have a de novo hearing. We're recommending that they incorporate your record. So you can close your hearing and close your record, but then not make a decision tonight. For the public, in case anyone does decide they want to testify, the city council will reconvene on July 6th and hear the matter. Planning Commission is always welcome to attend these meetings. If you have particular items that were of importance, you're encouraged to attend. But staff will also follow through with the things that you've raised at the earlier hearing. So at this time, the chair could accept motions to close the hearing and close the record.
All right, a motion to close the hearing and the record.
Chair, I make a motion to close the hearing and the record.
You did my favorite, thank you. And a second? We have a second.
Second.
And then we vote by voice, vote only, those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
And then you can adjourn your meeting because the city council will decide on the application.
All right.
Thank you for your patience in that.
You can finish up what's left on your agenda.
Sorry, is there something else? Yes.
I guess I'm not following the printed agenda.
Well, you...
Report of council actions.
Okay. Report of council actions, is there any?
I attended last night, if you're curious. It wasn't... It was a lot of business as usual type of things, but we did have a request to vacate 59th Street by, it's a joint request between the city of Springfield and SUB. There's 10 lots, part of Mount Gate, that are part of that right-of-way vacation, and the idea is that SUB, once the right-of-way is vacated, is going to either replat or vacate that plat. There will be one tax lot, and they'll be using that for an expansion of their water facilities that are there. That was the only land use action. They did make a motion and approve it to hear the Verizon cell tower application. They also approved the budget, and they approved a request from Medco to give Sprout $100,000 for improvements to the facility. And they approved a request from St. Vincent de Paul to assist in the development of affordable housing on J Street. I don't remember what the cross street is, but they've got a 10-unit development going in there. They approved that. That was a home fund grant. The Sprout was a CDBG grant. And then they also deferred a decision on the tax rate for the fire bond measure until
July
20th. And the question was whether or not it would go out at 36 cents per thousand or a different figure. That was a public hearing. There was some testimony, but they're going to wait until July 20th to make a decision on that. That's pretty much it.
You have anything further as director?
Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. Any business from the Planning Commission?
Is the St. Vincent facility, is that single or multifamily?
It's multifamily.
How many units?
I think
roughly.
Well, you know what? Based on the information, I'm not familiar with the project.
Mm-hmm.
And what Terry McDonald said was that it was a 10-unit development, but I suppose that it could be 10 single family. Yeah, and you know, single family are equally eligible to apply for funds for affordable housing. It's not just limited to multifamily, but you know, St. Vincent has a history of doing multifamily.
Didn't they do the stuff on 5th and near the fire station as well?
They did a small lot subdivision.
Yes.
But I don't know that we provided any funding for that, but I do remember the approval process for it. And then they did, of course, the high-rise across the street, among others. They've got, I think Terry mentioned, over 300 units in Springfield. Pretty active.
Anything else? Adjournment.
Thank you. Thank you for your patience tonight. Appreciate it. Yes.
It's only half.